Let's return now to coverage of the High Court's decision to strike down the Gillard government's Malaysia solution. Refugee lawyer David Mann was the driving force behind that High Court challenge, and he was representing asylum seekers fighting their removal to Malaysia. He joins us now from Melbourne. David, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good to be with you.
Is the Malaysia deal now dead and buried, as far as you can see?
As far as I can see, it is. The courts emphatically found by a 6-1 majority that the proposal by the government to expel asylum seekers to Malaysia is unlawful, that the government doesn't have the power to do it, and that the declaration that was made by the minister under the Migration Act to the effect that that it would be a suitable country to send people to has been found to be invalid, unlawful.
We'll come to the legal implications of this and other options for the government in a moment. But just dealing with the people you were representing, I think you represented directly 16 or 42, I'm not sure. What does it mean anyway for those 330-odd people in Christmas Island that were waiting this deliberation? What happens to them now?
Yes, well, there were 42 that were part of the case, but there are, as you say, over 300 people that were subject to expulsion to Malaysia under this Malaysian solution. And what now happens is quite uncertain. We don't know what the government's intentions are, and I don't want to speculate, of course, on what they are. But look, the first thing to say is the court's made a decision, and that has been an emphatic ruling. And as part of that, we now call on the government to respect that ruling and now to move quickly to process the cases of these people who were subject to expulsion to Malaysia rather than leaving them locked up in limbo.
We've heard the reports of cheering from Christmas Island when this verdict was delivered, this judgment was delivered. You've spoken to, I know, those people you were representing. How are they feeling today?
Look, I haven't spoken to them today. It's Christmas Island's 3 hours behind, so certainly spoke to them yesterday, very very shortly after the judgment. And really, I can sum it up by saying that there was one huge collective sigh of relief, because these people had come to Australia, very vulnerable people, fleeing from brutality in their homelands, and were then told that they would be expelled to Malaysia, where they feared for their safety too. They feared that they'd be harmed there and were petrified of the prospect of being expelled to Malaysia. So to find that the court had ruled in their favour and found that proposal to be unlawful was met with great relief.
The minister said this is the High Court applying a new test. Well, in fact, the judges say simply, and obviously the minister's declaration on Malaysia did not fulfil the legal requirements as set out in the Migration Act. As a lawyer yourself, is it astonishing to you that this was not picked up by the government's own lawyers, or that the government's own lawyers were so emphatic that this was lawful when you looked at the Act?
Look, the first thing to say is I'm not going to comment on the advice that was given to government or what their views, the views that they formed of that advice. What I can say is that there was no new legal test devised by the court. It wasn't a matter of sort of judicial activism, if you like. What the court did was apply the law, and that's obviously their task. So really something very simple and normal and reasonable in this country happened, and that is that people whose rights and interests were seriously affected, these very vulnerable people, asked the court to check whether the proposal to expel them to Malaysia was lawful. We put the case for them, and the court found that it wasn't, that the laws in Australia don't give the government the power to do what it planned to do.
If the law is so straightforward in this case, you've been obviously a student of the Migration Act and you've been representing people for many years. Offshore detention has been a contentious issue for so many years. Presumably, when you were involved with opposing the Nauru solution, the Pacific solution, you looked at the law and didn't think the law could be your friend in that case.
Look, there were different circumstances there, and you've got to focus on each case that comes before you. In the case that we had here, there were people who sent out an urgent call. I got it on early Saturday evening, an urgent call for help. And what we did was what we always do, and is that just focus on whether that call for help could result in a challenge to the court, which could be successful. And that's really simply what happened. And I think that one thing that's really important to look at here is why this declaration that Malaysia was a suitable country to go to, why it was found to be unlawful. And there were three key reasons, Fran. One was that Malaysia doesn't, under its own domestic laws, recognise the status of refugees or refugee rights, or have adequate processing arrangements under its own laws Secondly, that it's not a signatory of the Refugees Convention. And thirdly, the arrangement between Australia and Malaysia was not legally binding.
So if you apply that test to Nauru, Nauru comes up trumps. Nauru would pass muster, wouldn't it, with the High Court?
Not necessarily. What we now need to do is a very lengthy judgment. We now need to fully digest it rather than speculating on precisely the broader implications. The first thing I'd say, though, is that what was said in the court, the majority ruling, will apply to any country that any government proposes to expel asylum seekers to in the future. But we have to have a really good look at the judgment, and we also have to look very carefully at the legal systems, the laws in place in the country that may be proposed in the future if that were to happen. And that requires a careful analysis, looking at both the judgment itself and the laws and legal system in the country in question.
I understand the need to really examine the judgment, but on those three tests, the three key reasons you listed then, if we did put Nauru across those, recognise refugee rights, adequate processing laws, well, Malaysia is about to sign on to the Refugee Convention, is in the process of that. It would have adequate processing because Australia would be in charge of that if it went as it did last time. Doesn't that make Nauru, doesn't it have Nauru clearing those hurdles?
Look, I'll come back to this point that I'm not going to speculate on precisely whether a proposal to expel people to Nauru would be lawful or not. But what's also very important to look at is in this judgment, the judgment went further. The High Court also said that a number of rights in domestic or international law need to exist in the country that the people are expelled to, and they include rights to education, employment, housing, freedom of religion and access to the courts, and possibly other rights. So what we've got to look at in every situation is what is existing at the time, not what may exist in the future, what is hoped for, but what actually exists at the time that any proposal to expel people, what exactly would exist at that time in that country.
So you'd have to check, for instance, in the case of PNG or Nauru, whether they would be offering all those rights to process refugees.
Yes, but also whether they themselves have effective procedures backed by law to assess the status of refugees. So these are all matters that would need to be looked at very carefully. And I don't want to speculate right now. I don't think it would be possible to provide any precise view on whether any country would stand up to that test.
All right, David Mann, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
David Mann is Executive Director of the Refugee and Immigration Legal Centre, and he was leader of the team that mounted that High Court challenge on behalf of 42 asylum seekers. It's 16 to 8 on Breakfast.